we have the privilege of having our message delivered today by Randy and Terry Stevens. And you probably know them better than last time they spoke with us, because with the live streaming and with the learning communities, they've become an integral part, first with our live streaming and Zoom meetings, and now they've been coming in person. And so it's just been so wonderful getting to know them. So please welcome Randy and Terry and come and give us this message today.
Good morning, New Song friends. Thank you, Pastor Herb, for this opportunity and blessing to share the Word of God with you. We're happy to be back with you today.
We have been joining you on all kinds of different social media, so it's good to see all of you face-to-face for a change. But it is 4th of July, and so happy 4th of July. I spent more time thinking of...
I'm going to get closer to you.
Sure. Make adjustments. That's what it is when you have a guest speaker.
Don't be afraid of it. So get right up on
yes,
it.
Yes, ma'am. All right. So, yes, ma'am, I will try. I spent more time thinking about this 4th of July than I probably have in a long time, because don't we just take it for granted? It's 4th of July, whatever. It's a day off. It's a day that people get off with pay. Some of them are celebrating it tomorrow because it's on a Sunday, so it's a long weekend, right? And I know that Pastor Herb is really into history, so, you know, I'm not. I can't remember. So I decided to look it up just to refresh my memory. And so why do we celebrate it? You probably know this. It's more than red, white, and blue food. There we go. Or clothes. But don't those Krispy Kreme donuts look yummy? Is there one close to here? No, not anymore either. We don't either. Washington, PA, I think, was the closest I found it. And I love to wear the color of the day. So for Christmas, of course, I wear red, white, and blue. No. I wear red and green for Christmas, and I wear green for St. Patrick's Day and red for Valentine's Day, and, of course, red, white, and blue for Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. And then, yes, I put my white clothes, shoes, and purse away and wait for Memorial Day again, because you just can't, or I can't. But in a nutshell, we celebrate the independence from Great Britain and the birth of the United States of America. So the motion of independence was approved on July 2nd, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence was mostly signed on July 4th, 1776, and that's why we celebrate it. That became a spiritual marker for the United States of America. And so we look at that every single day. Now, over all of these years, it's kind of gotten a little bit pushed back as to why we even do this. But it is important. It was important to the Founding Fathers. And that spiritual marker is something that's going to be coming up in the rest of our sermon, because it's important to remember where we came from and how we got to where we are. Here's a fun fact that I didn't really pay much attention to, apparently, in history. Did you know that John Adams, one of the Founding Fathers and second President of the United States, so strongly disagreed with the 4th of July being celebrated on the 4th of July, he thought it should be celebrated on the 2nd of July when the motion was passed, that he refused to attend any kind of a 4th of July celebration. You know, people were as crazy then as they are now, or were as crazy now as we are then. Whichever way you want to look at it, I'm like, really? What? That seems crazy. But here's another fun little fact that I was like, huh. That's interesting. And did you know that both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on July 4th, 1826? See? You paid attention in history class. Within 5 hours of each other is what I read. Is that right? Okay. All right. The internet was correct when I Googled. Independence Day, though, is just more than what I said, the day off and the sales, right? There's all kind of 4th of July Day sales and things. But it's more than that. It gave us freedoms, many freedoms that we have in the USA. But no freedom that we could have from Independence Day compares to the freedom that we have in the presence of God.
So as we go any further, let's go into that presence of God. Hebrews 10:22 tells us, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trust in Him." Pray with me. Father, as we come into your time right now, that Father, that we would be the words to say, your words, that Father, the people's ears would hear what you would have them to hear, that Father, we would go out understanding the freedoms that we have in your presence, the freedoms that we have in the world, but the ultimate, the freedom that we have in your presence, that it would just be there. We thank you and we praise you, and we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. Our main scripture that we chose today is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and we're reading from the New Living Translation. "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruits, all the while as you grow to learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking God the Father."
So before we talk about the presence, freedom in the presence of God and those spiritual markers that those create, we need to have an understanding of who Paul is talking or praying to, for. In verse 9, it says, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." But who is that you? He's praying for the Colossians, but the interesting thing is he didn't even know the Colossians. He knew about them, but he was still praying very specifically for them. And he was asking God to give them complete knowledge of His will, spiritual wisdom, and understanding. Paul believed that the knowledge of God and knowing God's word was very important. But this knowledge alone is empty. If all we have are the words, then it's empty. And he was concerned that all they had was the knowledge of God and not knowing God. And you spent a lot of time today reading scripture together, which is awesome. We've been meeting up with Herb on all your various things that we've seen the scripture being studied, and we've been doing the daily readings with you as well. And you have motions that Wendy's helping us to be able to memorize. But the thing is, if all we have are those words, then it's empty. It doesn't do anything for us. Scripture is supposed to be changing us, helping us to know God better and to change us into right living. And then Pastor Herb has three important questions that he asks all the time, right, as you're reading these scriptures. What stood out or caught your attention? Why do you think it caught your attention? What does God want you to do with it, and how? And so that's at the top of your scripture readings, and I look at those questions, and sometimes I have good answers, and sometimes I'm not sure why, what stood out, or why, or what am I supposed to do with it now? But God will eventually put that into us as well. So he asks you these questions to consider them as you read, learn, memorize God's word, even listen to a sermon, so that it isn't empty knowledge. Knowing God's word should be life-changing into right living. Does that sound familiar? Because I've been picking up on what Pastor Herb's been saying, people. I think a lot of times he's been speaking to me. We meet men in our jail Bible study, so we do a jail Bible study. We've been doing it for years. And they can recite verse after verse, quite frankly, better than we can. This impresses some men, and some other men it actually discourages because they're like, we don't know that stuff. And yet, here's the thing. They know all the words, chapter and verse. Their lives aren't changing. We're meeting them in jail, right? And so that just always strikes me. Like, you know all of this, but your life choices aren't lining up to what you know. And so therefore, it's hard to tell them that those words are empty. If you don't know, if it's not life-changing and causing you to right living, then those words they're just words. And God has not meant his words to be just words. Knowing God's word should give us direction and a closer relationship to God. Our changing life into right living through knowing God's word gives us direction and a closer relationship to God and creates those spiritual markers, just like Independence Day.
Spiritual markers and freedoms. It's what our Christian life is all about. Freedom from sin and freedom to express and experience God's peace and presence. So our first point, freedom in God, in the presence of God, to honor and please God. Colossians 1:10a says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. This reminds me of the devotion that I read in Experiencing God Daily back on June 22nd. It was titled Scripture Markers. The scripture text for that day was Joshua 4:8. The Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 men took stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each of the Israelite tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua. The devotion says this, spiritual memory is crucial in the Christian life. It would be tragic if in your haste of... It would be tragic in your haste to advance your Christian life you neglect to leave spiritual markers at the key crossroads of your life. Without the help of those markers, you lose your spiritual bearing. And then it concludes by saying, a spiritual marker identifies a time of decision when you clearly knew that God was guiding you. Keep track of those important moments. This will help you to understand God's activity in your life and give you a sense of direction as you face future decision. A few spiritual markers that I just looked up in the Bible was these. When God said to Abram, get up and leave your family and your country and go to a land that I'm promising you to go. Abram did that. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And then Abraham's faith grew, and he was called the father of many nations. And then there's the Bible reading that we've been doing this week at First New Song. Joseph. Joseph's incredible story. As you know, Joseph had dreams. His dreams got him in trouble. His brothers sold him. He went into Egypt. He got God's favor there, but then he was jailed falsely. And then for the most part, he was forgotten about for a little bit. But then he was remembered. And God brought the children of Israel into Egypt to save them, just as he promised Abraham, because he could have cut the whole line off, but he promised to save them. What was really interesting in the reading, and I've read it many times, was there were only 62 people in the in Joseph's family that moved to Egypt. 62 Israelites, but in a few generations, as we learned in the Bible, there were over a million that left Egypt to go out to take over the land that God promised them.
In the New Testament, there are spiritual markers as well. Through Peter, who was a fisherman, who became a fisher of men after traveling with Jesus and studying under Jesus, he was led by the Holy Spirit to preach where many people were saved. That's his spiritual marker. And then the other one that we chose, because we could have chosen just about anybody in the Bible, they're all telling us about their spiritual markers. But we chose Saul slash Paul on his road to Damascus experience. I don't know if there's anything much more dramatic than that. But Paul brought the good news of Jesus to all people. That's how we know about it. It wasn't just to the Jewish people. He brought it to all people. He used his vast knowledge and experience to witness before kings and rulers and telling them about Jesus as well. Those are his spiritual markers. We have a list of spiritual markers that we can see the hand of God on our lives. Our knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding and the good fruit that was being produced because of those spiritual markers in the freedom in the presence of God to honor and please the Lord. So our list, we just listed a few of them. was New Heights, which is the first church we attended. Baptism, marriage, sunrise service, call to ministry, new life, jail ministry, jail Bible study, and now New Song, because we have connected to you, so you became part of our spiritual markers as well.
We have found freedom in the presence of God to honor and please God as we move through our spiritual markers, following God's will for our lives together. We see these spiritual markers build one upon the other, and the groundwork being laid for the next one. Consider your spiritual markers. Can you see the progression of good fruits? Take a moment and think about your spiritual markers.
So we're looking at now the freedom in the presence of God to grow and know God better and better, which is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10b. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. There, wasn't that brilliant? That's our that's our point, and there it is proved in the Bible scripture verse. So there we go. We were very ingenious there.
Holy Spirit inspired.
There we go. I have to start, though, at the first spiritual marker to share the freedom in the presence of God to grow and know God better and better. You see, the God I knew at my first spiritual marker, which I have labeled New Heights, is not the God that I know now. There's never been a time in my life that I did not know that there was a God, that I did not believe in God. But the God I believed in was a punishing God. He wasn't a God of love. And all things that went wrong in my life most certainly had to be because God was angry with me about something that I just could not put my finger on. I didn't know why, but I was certain all of the bad things that happened was because God didn't love me, or God was mad at me, or something. So I wasn't really familiar with the real God, the God that I know now. But thankfully, God put people in my journey that shared their spiritual markers with me. And I learned of a God that loves me and cares for me and walks beside me and guides me. I found freedom in the presence of God to grow and know God better and better. I found a God that I could be exactly who I am and feel loved. I found a God that I could share my dark feelings with and my thoughts with, and that was there for me during my challenges and my difficulties. I learned of a God that just loved me as I was, and even today loves me as I am, no matter how challenging I might become. Because of that first spiritual marker and the freedom in the presence to know God better and better, I can count this on the scriptures of truth. And so I'm learning scripture, but they've been life-changing for me as well, and they've brought me into a much better place with God of knowing who God really is and not who I just thought he was because of my life situations. So I chose Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And God has held me up in some pretty difficult times. The spiritual markers that we listed were all good ones for the most part. But we have some hard spiritual markers as well. There was a period of time when I lost my job. We had to trust God and believe that he would walk us through that, and he did. There was a time when I faced breast cancer. And because of those other spiritual markers, I could pull on that one and each one of them and say, well, but God brought me through that, but God brought me through that, but God brought me through that. And as I listed the spiritual markers in my head and in my life, I could say, okay, I will not grow weary. I will walk and not be faint because God is walking with me through this. And so even in the hard times, we found that God is still with us. And those spiritual markers, good and bad, build on one another. I also chose Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Let your roots grow down into him in your lives, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So in all things, we find thankfulness because of those spiritual markers and the freedom that we have in the presence of God. And here's my all-time favorite life verse. that gives me strength in my darkness and in my challenges and in my insecurities. And I continue to just know and grow, know God better. If you get to know me, you will find that I will find a way probably to put this in every single sermon I ever do, because it is. But this one scripture really helped me to grow and know God better and better. And it is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That scripture alone has brought me through life. That scripture alone has allowed me to see everything in my life that happens, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, as good, because it has shown me, and I now know, that there is a God that has a plan, and his plans are always good because God is good. So God's plan can't be bad, even when it looks bad. And so we have embraced whatever has happened and looked at it and said, okay, this is, I don't really want to go through breast cancer, but okay, God, if this is where you need to take me, then we can go. So that scripture alone has made such a huge difference. So that's where taking scripture and knowing it, applying it to your life, is what we're supposed to do and what makes it such a huge difference in our lives. How about you? Have you grown to know God better and better?
Our next point, freedom in the presence of God to face endurance, patience, aka trials and testing. Colossians 11:12. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all the glorious power so that you will have the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. Now, when I think of endurance and patience, I throw trials and testing in there because I think all four of them go together. It goes together in everyone's life, whether you're a Christian or not. We just have things we go through. We need patience. We need endurance to go through. But do you see freedom in those four words? There is freedom. Let me give you this view. We have the freedom through our endurances, our patience, our trials and testing to be free in the presence of God. Or not to be in the presence of God and just let those situations take control of us.
We could be like that vine.
We could be like that vine.
That was dying.
Yes. Two of my scriptures that I'm going to share with you is James 1:12 and Romans 5:3-5. James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to them. And then from the message, Romans 5:3-5. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praises even when we are hemmed in with trouble, because we know how trouble can develop passionate patience in us, and how that passionate patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us to alert for whatever God will do next. Alert expectancy such as this, that we will never feel shortchanged. Contrary, we can't have enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our life through the Holy Spirit. So how do you look at trials and testing, endurance and patience? Are you looking from the right side up or from this upside down world? Opportunities of endurance, patience, testings, trials are all spiritual markers for us that we can look for the presence in that freedom of God. How do you react to little things in life, those little trials? It'll help you to react to the big things in life. We need to live like God is at the steering wheel and not the co-pilot in our lives. Trials and testing will appear very different when we look at things that way. Back in early spring, I got to experience a big trial testing, patience and endurance all at one time. And so I went out, it was supper time, so I went out on our deck and started grilling. And we have a sandbox out there for our grandson, and I knew it was going to rain later that night, so I went and put the tarp over it. And as I put the tarp over the sandbox, all of a sudden, I was on the ground below in intense pain. I did a quick call out to Terry. Terry!
Yes, he did. I thought he fell on the deck until I came out and he wasn't on the deck. And so, but I saw this gaping hole in the deck and I looked over and there he was down on the ground. Oh my gosh, what happened? As if it wasn't clear, because it really wasn't. I'm like, what made him do that? And the deck just gave way right at that same moment, and there he was down on the ground. And, you know, I ask a foolish question, how are you? Are you okay? It's like, I don't know. All right, so anyway, I ran down to find him.
No, I wasn't okay. I was in intense pain. I had fallen 10 feet from the top of the deck to the ground below, and on the ground below was a concrete pad that I landed on. So it wasn't soft ground that I landed on. It was hard ground. I really couldn't even move. The only thing I could move my right arm, but everything else was in pain. So as I was waiting for Terry to make her way down to where I was, because we have no access off our deck to the ground, so you got to go back through the house. So as I was waiting for that, our next door neighbor, Mary, she heard the noise, so she came over to see what was wrong. And there I was laying, and she just couldn't believe what was happening. So Terry finally got there and looked at the situation. But I was already thanking God that I was alive. Even though I was in intense pain, I didn't know how my body was or what was wrong. I was thanking God even with that. Terry got there, and she did a quick assess of me. I wasn't bleeding out. I had no bones sticking out of my body, so with that report, I thank God.
Yes, there was none of that, but he said, I can't move. So that was quite frightening.
So then Terry didn't bring the phone with her, so now she has to run back into the house, around the house, to get a phone to call 911, because she asked me a question. What do you think we should do? And I said, I don't know right now.
And then I looked at him again and said, we're calling an ambulance. Like, you haven't gotten up. So we have to call an ambulance. So I did call 911.
So at the time, Mary tried to start praying with me. Her and her husband are very, very devout Christians. So she started praying, but she couldn't get many words out. And she just kept saying, dear Jesus, help him, dear Jesus, help him. And I was agreeing with her, thanking God all along and agreeing with her. When Terry called 911 and told them this story, I started praying for the 911 people, them and the ambulance people to come, to arrive. And when they got there, to assess what was happening to me. I didn't know. I still couldn't move other than my right hand. They looked at me. They assessed the situation. They said, they're going to take me to the hospital. We asked them what hospital, and it wasn't our little neighborhood hospital. It was a big hospital downtown. Terry didn't like that situation.
No, Terry has no sense of direction. God gave me Randy in my life to get me to where I need to go. And he's laying on the ground and says, I can't move. Therefore, he can't drive me to the hospital. And the ambulance driver would not let me go with him either. So I called my brother, and it all worked out. But it did cause me to panic slightly, because I wasn't sure how I was going to get to him or find him after they took him, and it was hard.
So on the way to the hospital in the ambulance, I prayed for our trip down there. I thank God that there were people that could take me as I was and protect me till other people could look at me. I knew people were praying for me then. I knew I was in God's presence. I knew I was being healed from the time I landed on the ground till the time I went to the hospital. I could feel God's presence in my body healing me. There was a nurse's aide who was assigned to me who would come around, check to see what I needed all the time. And he heard a part of the story, so I needed to tell him the story. And he goes, what's wrong with you? You got a smile on your face. I said, I'm always smiling. I think he thought I was either high or drunk, because most people don't fall from a deck, you know. And I had to explain I didn't fall from the deck. I fell through the deck. So when the blood screening tests come back, it was all negative. Nothing in my system. But I still had a smile on my face. Even Terry told him, there's always a smile on his face.
There is. And by then, I was smiling. I had been praying, and my prayer was about as good as Mary's. Dear Lord, just help us, because I really had no more words. But I started calling people and texting people, and I even texted Pastor Herb, who was out of town. But he responded to me and said he was praying. And I knew that there were other people praying. So by the time I got to see Randy, I was smiling too because he was smiling. So I'm like, okay, he's smiling, then I'm going to smile because he's okay. And God's with us was the biggest thing. God is with us. I had no doubt that God was already working things out. Now, I am a logical thinker. So as I'm thinking, I'm like, as this is happening and while they're doing all their tests and everything and I hadn't seen them yet, I'm thinking, okay, but Randy's the only one that has income. I'm taking care of our grandson. And so I have no income. He's the income. I was glad his right hand was working because he does drafting. And so I'm like, okay, he can still do this. So
I'm on my back or not.
It may not be too bad. And we had a vacation in Colorado, which is where those pictures come from, planned. And I was like, and to hike, we hiked up there. That's where that we were actually up there taking that photo. And I was like, okay, we have this vacation planned in like 6 weeks. And what are we going to do with that? But every time I had a thought in the negative realm, God said, but I'm here. But you're okay. Mm-hmm. But remember all those other things that we came through together. I can bring you through this. This is no worse than anything else that I have already brought you through. And so that allowed me to keep relaxing and truly have a smile on my face, not just a fake one that I planted there to make it look good. It was a true smile because I knew and felt God with us, and we felt all the prayers of the people. And even Pastor Herb had asked me, well, how are you? And I'm like, I'm okay. I am just waiting to see what good thing God is going to bring to us through this. And what he did is he did in so many ways, but it also gave us yet another spiritual marker to build upon the other ones, because you know they just keep building on one on top of the other. Mm-hmm. And making a difference in our life, and then we are able to share it with people and say, but look what God did for us. And our God is your God, and so God is can do the same thing for you that he does for us, and that makes a difference too. That's what helped me when I started with a God that just was angry and punishing. Mm-hmm. People showed me and taught me and explained to me how different God really is.
So after all that ordeal, after all the testings, the x-rays and MRI, no broken bones, no internal bleeding, no nothing. The doctor come in to release me and he was amazed. He called me the rubber man or the man of steel. He goes, he couldn't believe an almost 61-year-old guy fell 10 feet through his deck and landed on a concrete slab below, but only had minor scrapes and bruises. I knew it was prayer. I knew it was a presence of God in my life. Now, on Sunday, I was a little sore, but I showered, got up, and we watched church on the internet. Monday, I resumed my typical morning exercise, which is getting up at 5 in the morning and walking 3 miles. Now, it wasn't the fastest 3 miles I've ever done. And it really bothered Terry because she texted me, and I didn't see it on my phone. She called me. I didn't see it on my phone because she thought, what is he doing? Because I wasn't back at my normal time. Mm-hmm. But
he walked in, and then, you know, we had a married moment.
But yes. even on that Monday morning, God brought me back to what it could have been, but what it was. And I praised and thanked God through that. You see, Terry and I always look at these opportunities by saying, okay, God, I know what you have something in store for us. to move us closer to where you want us to be than where we are right now. Now, in our last picture here, or last couple pictures, I want to tell you about a life lesson I learned from our little grandson, Andrew. We live on a fairly busy road, and Andrew knew the boundaries of too close to the road until he received that safety vest. Oh, yeah. Now, earlier in the year, the Allegheny County road crew come by cutting back the trees, and he heard the noises of dump trucks and sounds, and he wanted to go see what it was. So out we went, and we went over to the guardrail so we could be as close as we could to him. And all of a sudden, one of the guys went to their truck and walked over to us with a safety vest and said, here's a safety vest. We give it to all the kids who watch us. I'm going, okay, this is great. But it wasn't so great because Andrew thought now he could be part of the road crew. He could get out there on the road. So it was hard somewhat containing him. A few weeks later, we had a different tree service company come by and cut the trees in the utility line. Once again, he heard the noise. We were out there. He had his safety vest on. He wanted to be on the road. But then the biggest time come is when the Allegheny County road crew come to mill and pave our road. Top of the road wasn't close enough. He wanted to be on the road. And he had that safety vest on and thought he could be out there. The life lesson I learned from this is that when we allow the Holy Spirit to clothe us with his garments, then we can experience all the freedoms that God has for us. All the freedoms that God has for us. Just like Andrew perceives that God, that the wearing that vest gives him freedom to be on the road, God gives us that freedom when we allow the Holy Spirit and God's presence to be in our lives.
Okay, so that's our freedom in the presence. So we've looked at freedom in the presence of God to honor and please the Lord, freedom in the presence of God to grow and know God better and better, freedom in the presence of God to face endurance and patience in trials and testing. And I have one more for you. We put it in different order. Freedom in the presence of God is right side up living in an upside down world. Would Pastor Herb be proud? I think. I'm getting it. I am. I love that thought, actually. So much of what he has said that I've listened to over this past year has made so much sense to me and has helped me see a lot of different things differently. So I'm very grateful and thankful that God connected us. See, there is a good thing that came out of COVID, people. We were able to connect with people that we wouldn't normally have ever connected with. And that makes a difference in our life, and it made a difference in mine. So God bless you all. Happy 4th of July.